What's up, Jonathan?
How's it going, Manny?
Good. You're going to surprise me. I actually don't know too much what we're going to talk about today.
You know, today's going to be, a boatload of real good conversation all surrounding people.
Cool.
And I think that let's just unpack some of the real life things that occur. And it's going to trigger some people, and that's cool. That's kind of what we do. It's provocative. It's going to make you go, hmm. And where I'm getting at is, sometimes I think that we live too soft of a society, yeah, and that people hide out and don't say shit. And the ripple effect, it actually kills us long term, because yeah, we hold on to that. It sucks the energy out of us. It makes us feel like shit. And we can go and share, you know, stories that don't actually exist. And we make ourselves believe shit that is not even real. Right?
Everyone's turning a blind eye.
Everybody's turning a blind eye. I mean, and so there are a couple of big topics, a couple of big notes. I think we can just jump right into it. The first one is backtalk. How much bullshit and gossip do you hear where if I've got something that really irks me is the impact of backtalk. Like, people run their mouths like they're just scared little people.
They're running their mouths online.
Right? Rather than just me saying, you know what? You're a fucking asshole. Okay, cool. Let's unpack that. What did I do? Because what if I did something to you that I have no idea? Like, my world occurs to me, I don't wake up in the morning to be an asshole, right? No human being does.
No.
And the reality through which I go through, I'm not wrong. I'm operating from the biases and filters that I believe are right. Yet, if I trigger you or I say something or I do something,
I have the right to respond and say something. If you are offended by what I just said, then that's not my problem.
That's sorry. Right. I'm not responsible for your trauma.
No.
Your trauma is your shit to deal with.
Yeah.
Don't bring it to the fucking front, yeah, man.
But in the same respect, though, if I don't like a person, I'm not going to hang out with that person.
I love that. And that's something that happens.
It doesn't matter if that person's connected to somebody that I do like. And I've done that before where they're siblings. I'm like, your brother's a dick. I like you, but your brother's a dick.
Right.
And if he's coming along, I'm not coming along. I'm going to bow out. That's how simple I solved that problem.
Yeah.
Am I not allowed to do that?
I love that you do that because there's so many human beings that don't do that. They don't have the courage or bravery to do
so
that.
So they'll go and they'll just pretend to like the brother because they like the first brother. And so they'll just get along with the second brother that they know is a dick and they don't want to deal with that person.
Right.
I have my reasons why I don't like the second person. And I don't want to be around that person because of these reasons. So then I don't want to be there. So thank you for the invite, but I won't be there.
Yeah.
Because I'm not asking you to not bring your brother. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to withdraw myself from going there because I don't want to be anywhere near your fucking brother. And the reason in this particular case is his brother's a fucking negative individual.
Right.
And I'm trying to minimize the amount of negativity in my life. I can deal with some negativity, but I don't need a constant drip of negativity in my life. So I'd rather move away from that and not be around that particular individual.
Okay, so what's the ripple effect of doing that? What do you notice? You pull away from
that. Well, then the friend that I do respect starts to feel a little upset, or not upset. Maybe he's like, because overall, generally speaking, if you speak to a large mass of people, I get along with a lot of people.
Right.
So then he likes being with me and hanging out and we have stimulating conversations.
Cool.
So you respect that at that point. And so he's looking at it like, well, then I'm going to miss this opportunity of not having a stimulating conversation with you because you don't get along with my brother. I was like, well, that's not my fault. I'm sorry, but it's not. You can always call me. We can have a phone conversation and talk.
And see, that happens more frequently than not is, oh, well, the guilt and the shame attempts and they try to volley it over to you. Like, well, you know, you're 40. you're making me believe like I can't have a relationship with you because you don't want to be here. No, man. You want to hang out with me? Let's go have a cigar, a coffee, a hangout. Call me anytime you want.
Yeah.
Right? But you are consciously saying, I don't have the time, energy, or interest to put myself in that situation.
I'll tell you an interesting thing that just happened, very recent. I was at a meeting and someone decided to invite themselves to this meeting.
Okay.
I had no problem with it at first, right? But in this meeting was about, let's say, just subject matter A. And then this person that came along started to overpower the meeting that had nothing to do with subject matter A. And it got to the point where the person that I was having the meeting with actually made a verbal comment about back off, dude. This is not what we want to talk about. And he just brought it up. And I was like, going, he had every right to say that. And then he apologized for being that way. But it's just like, you have to respect people's boundaries.
Where, right.
Like, you're having a professional meeting, you're presenting certain thoughts. Someone invited themselves to be a part of this meeting thinking, okay, my thought process is you're more of a spectator in this meeting.
Yes.
Right? You can contribute, but quietly, but you're a spectator. And they started to become a player instead of a spectator. And that's when they had to be told, back off a little bit and respect the boundary, right? And then that was said, and then that was experienced, and then he apologized and backed off. And then after the fact, I just said, dude, it's just a meeting. Just like, you didn't need to have to be, like me, when I meet people and I'm talking about stuff, and this is something to do with creativity, I listen more than I speak.
Sure.
I need to get a sense of who they are, but this person was speaking more than they were listening. So they were going against what was the meeting purpose, right? And that's why I think he was getting to that point where that person had to say, back off, man. Like, we're not discussing this. Well, we want, and I didn't feel offended by that person saying that comment, because he's right. Like, this was a discovery meeting where we're discovering what are your pain points, what has to be done, what do we have to achieve. And so I need to listen to you first. I want to figure out all your shit, and then I'm going to explain to you what my thought process is. And by the end of the meeting, you know, all of a sudden ideas were being shared, and it turned good, right? But there was that sour moment in that meeting. That's a professional situation. But at a personal level, I dismiss people right the fuck away.
Mm.
Like, I have no time at all, right? So, I don't know. Is that wrong of me, Jonathan?
Well, hang on a second. I don't know that it's a right or wrong situation, or good or bad. It simply is the way that situation is, because everything is specific. But I have two questions that show up with regards to the scenario you first described in the meeting. The individual that attended the meeting, was it, you know, agenda-driven, where that person was trying to shove that agenda down the other person's throat?
I think what they were trying to do was present their CV to people that didn't know who their CV was.
Okay, so that was the other thing.
But that wasn't on the menu.
Because in that scenario, two things are going to occur. They're either going to pump themselves, look at me, look at all the cool credentialing that I've got.
That's exactly what was happening.
Right?
Yeah.
Followed by, and or, here's the agenda, my agenda, I want to push it upon you. Okay, cool. But then my second question is really about the self-awareness. At the end of the meeting, you said there was a conversation to sort of unpack, like, hey, this wasn't this time or space or whatever was said. What was the response like?
From the individual? He understood it. He totally understood
it. Which is cool.
Right? He got it. He officially got it. Like, I met the partner of the initial meeting person, and I met him for the very first time. And he's aware of me from the initial meeting person, right? That I've known a couple of times before. And so when I met that individual, he just made a comment about how, I've seen your stuff online, I love it, it's great. And I just made a joke. He goes, yeah, I got a little bit of a mouth, I share a bunch of stuff online. And that was the extent of it. I don't share anymore about my CV at that point, right? So it's like, if you've seen my stuff, then you kind of get a sense of it. It's like another meeting that I had that I shared with you off mic, where I met that kid for the very first time.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I asked him during the course of the meeting, I was going, listen, the person you're speaking to right now, Manny, am I any different than the person you saw on camera regarding the shows? He goes, no, you're exactly the same. I go, I'm not a character. I'm not a person. I'm not performing. It's me. This is who I am. So then I don't need to boast about my CV when I go to these meetings. If I'm having a meeting and they're interested in talking to me, I'm past that point of a phone conversation where it's like, okay, I've got a thought. Here, I'm sharing it. Why don't we get together face to face, have a meeting? Now I need to listen to what you guys want to achieve and see if I can pull off those achievements. That's it. But this person started overstepping, and that's where it was wrong, right? There's two lines drawn there.
No, you know, you identified, okay, so shit happened. So things were
this is applicable to business, by the way.
A mistake 100% was made, right? And the person was called and says, hey, listen, enough, right? Stop talking about whatever you're talking about. What actually excites me is the way that it was handled at the end. Confronted, said, not the appropriate time and space. You stepped out of the boundaries. So next time, if there is a next time, now you know the boundaries and expectations. Now, the way that this person took it, by the sounds of it, is with extreme self-awareness, totally got it, right? Versus what happens 80% of the time, unfortunately, because the emotional intelligence is not there, human beings armor up, right? Oh, but I was just trying to get this and trying to validate their point. I don't give a shit.
What was nice about what he said was, he goes, yeah, I'm sorry, I do that sometimes. Mm. So he's acknowledging it, right? Which is great. That's why I was like, okay, all is forgiven. Everything's great. In the back of my head, I'm still thinking, okay, is there a little bit of tension there? There might be a little bit of tension there, right, with the potential prospect there. I get it. I understand that. Back to the personal side,
yeah,
with the brother, he's always a dick. Every time I fucking met him since day one, he's been a dick. He's constantly a dick. And so I'm like, I gave him plenty of opportunities to change or to be more self-aware, but he's constantly reverting right back to being a dick and a negative dick. And I'm like, dude, I don't need to be around this. I don't. I refuse to be around it. So I have the right to just walk away from it, and which is what I do.
So what have you learned that's worth sharing with somebody else who's in that scenario?
If it's rubbing you the wrong way, you have every right to politely just excuse yourself. That's it. Simple as that. You're not being offensive or anything like that. Make a joke of it and walk away from it. Simple as that. Right? We're not going to get along with everybody, Jonathan. Like, honestly, you get along with every single person on this planet? There's no fucking way. It's impossible.
No, this way.
But you don't need to be around every single person.
Well, and I take it one step further, because I have conversations in my head to say, you know, there's 4 billion people or whatever the number is on this planet, right? Find the people who want to be in your orbit. People who want to hang out with.
Yeah.
Right? Why do I have to be around somebody who's fake and like, well, I'm just going to show up to this event and, you know, every time Jonathan's there, you're going to make some sort of sarcastic. See, the thing is, sometimes the sarcastic comments are made and you have to sort of dismiss them. But behind the sarcasm is like, what's the baggage and the bullshit you're carrying around that you're not willing to unpack with me? Instead, you're volleying it my way, trying to make it my problem. And then it's a recurring negative cycle, right? And then, oh, whatever it is. So I love what you're saying is relationships are, you know, 3 things, right? Proximity. Are we close enough to hang out logistically, whatever it is, right? Time. Do we physically have the same time, right? And energy. Like, am I willing to contribute the same amount of energy that you are?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, then at some point in time, you got to say, well, then I'm going to give my energy, because it's limited resource, to those that matter. Right? So I just thought I'd open up with this, because I think that there's a lot of human beings that, you know, back talk and talk gossip and shit, like, you know.
Look at it this way, Jonathan. Let's say you're on your deathbed, right? And all of a sudden some figure comes and whispers to you that you spent, whatever, I'm just making shit up, 100 days of back talk bullshit, sarcasm, gossip, all this other crap of your life. Here you are on your last day of life, and you spent 100 days in your life backtalking, wasting fucking time. Would you have done it then, knowing that you could have saved one extra 100 days of your life?
Think about it, folks, right? It's 100 days.
We don't. Like, what is it? People, like, you go around, and there's that little meme going around talking about, what is it, 78 summers you get, 78, you know, Christmases you get, as you get older, right? Midlife is not 50 anymore.
Right.
Right. It can be for some people health wise. We have the potential to get to 100 years now, or we get to the 100 years. But do you really want to spend 2 or 3 years or even 1 minute of those years back talking, gossip and bullshit like that? I see it now. I see, you know, with people in their 50s, just because, you know, you got friction between people now, and then they feel that it's okay to just talk shit about another person. Go ahead. Spend your time and effort doing that. I don't care. I'm not spending it. I'd rather try to figure out something else to do that's more pleasing, right? Lately, this has been, I get home, music right on the bat.
Mm.
I go for my remote and I hit music. Not today's music, right? But I hit music. So music's doing something for me these days really well.
Well, it's interesting because music brings a sense of calmness, or I mean, it does different things, but in this case, what comes to my mind is calmness, right? It's just like, it checks me out of all that. And let me just tune into that melody, right?
It can, it brings up memories. It brings up past. It brings up the first time you heard it. It brings up who you're with those moments. And then you start realizing it's a shame. As you get older, your circle is smaller. So then you don't share those experiences with people the same way today as you did before. Right. But it was just, it was also kind of funny recently. Someone connected with me. And the only reason it connected is because I always share something from the Azores. Right. So everyone knows I'm from Pico. That's where my family tree is from. And so it's like, I know 2 people from that island.
Okay.
Right. And this other person that just recently reached out, and she was surprised too. She was like, when I heard you on the show, you were talking about Pico. And so it's like, you don't meet that many. And it's true. She's right. 100%. You don't meet a lot of people. You meet a lot of people from San Miguel, which is a larger island. And you meet a lot of people from the mainland, Portugal, and they talk about those ones. But then, you know, I I only know two other people that are from that exact same, and she's on the other end of the island, and the other person I know is Larry from out west. He's from the exact same small town from where I'm from, my family's from. So it's like we just connect and we get talking about it and all this other shit. And that's just like complete stranger you just met. Both of them complete strangers you met through digital, right? You have a connection and then you have a conversation and you're like, okay, I'm vibing with this person. This is great. It's wonderful. So it's like that I think is valuable. Spending time and conversation and discussing and talking. And we were talking about a lot of stuff that we've all been through on that island. What we've experienced, what we're so used to. And we just have experienced the exact same thing, which is really nice. So those are great moments, right? Hang out to those ones instead of being a dick and talking negativity. And at Premier Physiotherapy and Sports Medicine, they don't just treat symptoms with the subpar standard experience people have come to know. Listen up, trying to skip this ad? That's exactly how you strained your back last time. The clinicians there provide accurate, specific diagnosis and evidence-based treatment techniques to provide clear and personalized effective management plans. They thrive when they hear people say that they've tried physio before and it didn't work because they raise the standard of what physiotherapy should be by managing your issue. Whether you're recovering from injury, awaiting surgery, trying to resolve lingering pain, or striving for peak performance, they use the latest equipment and proven methods to restore your ability and confidence. From physiotherapy and massage therapy to chiropractic care, nutrition counseling, and psychotherapy, their multidisciplinary team supports both your body and mind every step of the way. Discover the difference and book your consultation today at premierphysiotherapy.com or call 905-417-9991. Premier Physiotherapy and Sports Medicine. Your goal is their goal. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. We can always complain about negativity.
I mean, the human brain is wired, unfortunately, it goes to, you know, the automatic negative thoughts, right? And it takes extreme work.
Rubbernecking car crash bullshit, right?
Well, and this is the other thing that, you know, I talk about frequently, and it came up, I think, the other day, was like, fuck off. I don't need to carry your bullshit. Go do the work yourself. You know, like, I believe, and those can challenge me, but we don't really have a lot of challenges. For the most part, we're safe. We've got things around us that are going to keep us sustained for life. So we have to latch on to dumb things like, oh my God, this guy cut me off the other day, and then you carry that story forward. I have no idea what's going on in that guy's life, right? If he cut me off, okay, what can I learn from this? I can learn from this to stay at present and not distracted, right? And be grateful for the opportunity to be like driving down the road to say, holy shit, I saw this experience, rather than losing my marbles, expending energy, because then what happens after, then I'm depleted, yeah. Right? But yet we live in a world where it's like,
so why do you think so many people go there first? Just to create some excitement in the day, to make their day move forward, to get to the end of that day?
I have a response that is, you know, may or may not float with everybody. And I think it's just because life is too fucking easy at times. Life is too easy at times.
Isn't that a good thing?
Well,
a lot of other people around this world don't have an easy life.
Right. But the world we're living in right now is very different than that. So what do we need? We need problems. You know what the biggest drug is? I call it a drug. It's problems.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
Because when we don't have problems, we think, what's wrong? I got no problems. But there's always problems. Our brain finds problems in every little aspect of it. So we're looking for things.
But why not look for the good? Good things. Isn't there a bunch of good things in your life where it's like you've got your kids, you've got your wife, you got your family? So a text, a phone call, an expression or something, right?
Sure it is.
That's all contributing to good stuff, right?
Takes work, Manny.
Yeah, it does, of course.
Takes work.
On their part, your part, everybody's part, right?
So you know, the first question is, are you willing to do the work? Because if you're not willing to do the work, then the probable almost certain future is going to occur. You're going to continue on the same pathway and the same spiral. And how many, like, think of those times that just make you smile where you're just simply outside and you're like, holy smokes. I've never done this before. Never done this before.
We do a lot of those moments when we're younger. And then we stop doing a lot of those moments when we get older. Why do we stop that? Because life gets in its way.
I think that we make ourselves believe that we're so busy. We've got so many things to do. And I'm not saying that we're not, right? I'm not saying that that's an accurate or inaccurate statement. I'm simply just saying, like, you have 24 hours. I have 24 hours. How do we want to use them? How do we want to become aware of that, right? If you really want to get into the granular, start sort of documenting where we're spending our time, right? Yeah, it's easy to sleep in the morning. Sure. I love it too. What happens when you don't? You've always shared that you get up and you go for walks in the morning.
Yep.
How cool is that?
Especially now, it's nice to hear the birds chirp. Yeah. Right? So seasonally speaking. You know? Peace, quiet, simplicity. Right? That's what you start looking for. Is everybody just trying to chase happiness? Or their version of happiness? And they compensated? Like today, someone sent me a picture of $1,000 new Air Jordans from Nike. $1,000. And I looked at it and I just said to him, I don't know what's worse, that Nike produced a product that costs $1,000 for a pair of footwear, or if that people who can't afford it are going to try to buy it for a happiness to fulfill something in their life. And he was just like, I don't know which one's worse, to be honest. I think both of them are worse. So I just looked at it. I dismissed it. I have no interest in seeing them, wearing them, buying them, being a part of them. They don't feed into me. That's it. Simple as that.
I think I would challenge that. I mean, and there's many people who are smarter than me who've done a lot more psychological research. But as human beings, do we even know what happiness is? We don't. You can walk down every bookstore aisle and find an abundance of happiness books, happiness equations, happiness. Here's how to be happy. Here's a smile more. Listen, folks, again, I'm going to tell you because, and I have no problem sharing this, but I shared it with you, is the journey I went on in March where I literally like was close to a breakdown, where it was like, if I didn't shut, I've shared it with you, is it was at the point where my relationships around me were just non-existent. For me, I found like, I actually didn't give a shit. I actually didn't care. For the first time in my life, I didn't care about people. I did not care about, oh, I should check on this person. I should call. I was like, I don't give a fuck. And what actually happened was I started to say to myself that, well, nobody cares about me either, right?
That's what you thought?
Well, those thoughts entered my mind, right? And it creates that cortisol spike and everything. And then it's just a huge spiral and then exhaustion. And to the point where it was like, the only thing I can do right now is do the damn work myself. And that started by saying, even to our family, like, I love you guys. And either I leave or you guys leave. And I needed 5 days of, or 6 days of solitude time.
Did they understand?
They did.
Okay.
They did. And again, I was, and it wasn't easy. And this is the thing, is that on the other, like, all I can say is after the struggle is where the growth emerges. It could have been really easy for me to continue down the probably almost certain path of exhaustion, fatigue, you know, my version of burnout, you know, that negative space, because I wanted to avoid having the tough conversations with my wife and our children to say, this has nothing to do with you. I need to clear that up with you so that you're not carrying my shit into your life. This has to do with me. And on the other side of this, I can't tell you what's going to show up. But it's almost like a snake shedding a skin, preparing for the next evolution. I'm preparing myself for something that I don't even know exists.
How are you going to react if your wife comes back soon requesting the same thing? Need the space, need to disconnect.
I'd be proud of her for doing the work, to having the self-awareness.
Yeah. Kids are too young to be asking for that.
No, what's interesting is I'll have different conversations with our children because they're both very intellectually different.
Yeah.
But it's the self-awareness for them to say, look, sometimes we all need alone time. And I'm not just talking like go have a cigar or it started with me, actually. I'll tell you, it started with sensory deprivation, floating. I've been floating on and off for a decade plus.
You've done it?
Many times.
Yeah?
I love it. And for this time, I was having a breakdown. I had a breakdown at home. Something occurred, and I yelled at Christian for something very uncharacteristic. Where I erupted over something stupid. There was like a 35-second eruption followed by recovery, which he's good at. Like, he's used to me having the recovery. But then I was like, I got to get out of here. I got to go and do a float session. That, again, was my trigger to say, shit, something's going on. Went for a float session. It was the worst float I've ever had, ever. I could not shut my brain down. I couldn't calm my nerves. It was like everything was upside down. And that's when I had the realization.
You couldn't disconnect from life?
Could not disconnect. Could not disconnect. Huh. And then I realized I need to do some journaling. I need to do some reflection. And I asked myself 20 really, really heavy questions. Maybe not 20, but a whole bunch.
Questions that you came up with?
Yeah, I don't know where they all came. They're probably not all original, but it was like, you know, what are my greatest fears? What am I hiding from myself? What am I scared of? I unpacked my relationship to money. What am I proud of? What don't I want? I think that was the biggest thing, right? Like, what don't I want? We always hear, like, what is success? And that was a question. But then I would say, what is success? And I would write something. Why? Well, why is that important? Why is that important? Until I got down to a distilled level where there was nothing else to show up. Like fitness, for example. Fitness is a huge part of my life. And it wasn't, there's an example where people say to you, hey, I want to get in shape for my vacation, or I want to do this. Cool. That's great motivation. But motivation will wear off.
Yeah.
So what's your why? Right? And my why for me when it comes to fitness is that, you know, but when I'm 50 years old and my kids say to me, hey, I want to rock climb. I'm a hell yeah. And by the way, not only am I going to rock climb with you, I'm going to kick your ass at it. I'm going to compete at such a level.
Yeah.
Right? From a lifestyle standpoint. So when you have, you know, Christian's 100 pounds, when he 100 pounds come jumps on your back, I've got the awareness to know that I'm ready for that. That's the driving force. Do you think it sucks to get up and work out? There's more mornings than not that I hate it. I'm sharing all this because the importance of, you know, peeling back and slowing down to create space for what's next. And I'm sharing this so that if it lands with one other person, then the job well done. Because the opposite is we don't. The opposite of what was occurring to me before. Suck it up. Keep going. Have another coffee. Or whatever it was. Like, just keep grinding it out. You know what ended up happening? I just got exhausted.
Yeah.
I had nothing left to give. So the shit coming out of me, out of my brain, out of my body, was just terrible. Whether that be mentally or emotionally.
Do you have an idea of what the uncertainty that's coming next?
What do you mean by that?
Are you planning on? Because you're doing this to disconnect from everything, because I agree with you how your mornings start the same way. Your days are the same. Your evenings are the same. And then the morning starts all over again the same way. At some point, you got to look at it and go, the cycle's got to be broken.
Yeah.
So I need to have a moment where uncertainty comes into the situation. But I don't want to be told what that is, because I want to react naturally to that uncertainty and then start doing that now, instead of what I've always been doing for the last little while. Is that what you're looking for? You're looking for that uncertainty to come into your lap?
I think what shows up as you talk about that is, I don't know what I don't know until I do. So when you talk about uncertainty, there's certain things that might show up that I didn't even know before.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm a very structured person most of the time. So something that I had to unpack for myself was, how well can I deal with uncertainty?
Most people are afraid of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because routine is very comfortable, right? Work, you wake up, work out, go to work, do your day, come home, dinner, family, relax, do it all over again next day.
But here's what, I can only share what I learned. And I've done this a solitude adventure a few times. This one happens to be the biggest and the heaviest. But with that uncertainty, because for me, my brain was constantly shooting myself. You should be doing this, on and on, versus, yeah, I could be doing this, but instead right now, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. This was a real life example when I was going through this journey. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm standing outside in the sunshine, my bare feet on the grass, drinking a cup of coffee, listening to the birds going, holy shit. Very different. And actually, I appreciate the opportunity to stand out here and do this. Because if I was building somebody else's dream, working in a corporate environment or whatever this structure was for me at that time, I wouldn't have this opportunity on a Wednesday at 2 o'clock to do this.
Yeah.
And that was a piece of the uncertainty for me that I just became grateful and actually dug into the gratitude. We hear it all the time, but what does that actually mean?
Meet Jonathan Sinelli, the visionary behind People First Leadership. Jonathan is not your average leadership coach. His People First Leadership approach focuses on putting people at the core of your strategy, creating workplaces where teams thrive and achieve outstanding results. What sets him apart? Jonathan is a master at asking thought-provoking questions that spark genuine conversations and challenge conventional thinking. His deep empathy helps him understand unique challenges and guide people toward impactful solutions. As an accomplished author, media host of the People First podcast, and seasoned project management expert with a background as an electrician, Jonathan offers unparalleled experience and practical insights. Whether you're interested in a one-on-one coaching or breakout room sessions, Jonathan customizes his approach to your needs. He also travels the world, speaking at conferences and business events, inspiring leaders with his dynamic presentations. Discover how People First Leadership can transform your approach and ignite your team's potential with Jonathan Sinelli. Call Jonathan at 416-717-4139 or email him at jc@jonathansinelli.com or reach out to him on his website at jonathansinelli.com. This message is proudly supported by the Construction Life Podcast.
Do you ever catch yourself realizing that they have no real reason to complain? Comparably speaking.
Yes.
If you wanted to get a coffee, you can literally go down the hallway. If you wanted to get to point B, you can hop into your vehicle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And again, tug of war in my head because we say that often. We can say that often. Like, well, it could be worse. Well, yeah, it can always be worse. And I don't want to latch on to what can be worse. Instead, I actually want to presence myself to say, rather than focusing on what could be, just like what's actually happening right now.
Yeah.
I think that's one big thing that we don't do enough. We hear it is like, be present, but what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
Like when you're actually present, even for 7 to 10 seconds, very different, man. Very different.
Well, people don't want to do that. Most.
No.
They want to look for what's negative, what's happening. Why I need something to complain about. What's going on social media? Who's talking shit or who's doing that? What's the trend? What's like they want to just discover. Waste of time. Isn't it a waste of time?
Yeah. It's a waste of, well, and
your energy.
And it's validation. What are you searching for? You're looking for validation so that your brain can compare yourself to somebody else. Go, oh yeah, well, I'm doing this. Or how can I be present when I could be picking up the telephone call to make that call to make another $100?
Mm-hmm.
Validation, folks. Why is that, I invite you to say, like, why is that $100 important to you? We chase money. We're in a society that's chased money.
I think we chase routine. I think we chase security. I think we chase what we're so used to. And I think we're afraid to try to get something new going on because we're not sure if new will work. Because current is sort of good enough. Try something new, very huge gamble.
Scary as shit.
Of course it is. Simple as that. So then all of a sudden you can look back and go, holy shit, I've been here for 5, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years. Then what? But you're not doing what you really want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you were younger, you wanted to come up with something really interesting and do that. Why aren't you doing that then? But then you get people on whatever. Let's talk trades people. They're on job sites. They still complain about the same fucking things. Day in, day out. The same complaint. If it's such a complaint, then why do you keep on complaining about it? If it's really bothering you, then do something about it. But you're not doing anything about it. But that's your chatter. That's your waste of time, space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably meant to do something else instead, no?
Yeah.
Or should.
Well, how does it land if I just say, when you take accountability for your actions or for your life, for all the things you do say or commit to, when you take full accountability for it, there's nobody else to blame.
But it's too easy not to do that because everybody hides behind keyboards, right? So it's like now you can be vocal online without any fear of anybody attacking you, right?
I don't know. So, but then now you're wasting time again. That's what I'm saying. It's like you're a person who's got some good things in your life, and now you want to spend time and effort attacking or contributing to what's really going on in the world. And like, who gives a shit? Like, you know, I'm sorry, but the lady's going up in space. I laughed, moved on. Simple as that. That was my opinion about it. But a lot of people are just harping on that shit. And that's like the talk of the town right now. I'm like, continue doing that. I don't care. But people do that every day.
For something to latch on to.
Whether it's as soon as you get into the car, someone cuts you off. That's how it starts. The drive starts. Or even how you left the car, right? I don't know.
Do you think that if you let people do what people are going to do without having an attachment to the outcome, like they're, you see who they are. They show up. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, okay, so, what do I mean? I mean that, like social media, for example, does it really illuminate and amplify who a person is? Do you start to get a sense a sense of who they are?
Yeah, I totally think so. I think that, so anything that you get that comes in your lap, it will amplify who you are truly at your core. So whether that's negative or positive, doesn't matter. So I guess the go-to easiest way to kind of explain that, you win the lottery.
Sure.
And you get a lot of money. If you're not good at money management, then you know what's going to happen. You're going to be right back to working a job because you've spent all this money, right? So at your core, you're not good with that. So then if you're a bad person and all of a sudden you get an opportunity to amplify that, then you're just going to be a bigger bad person. That's all it's going to be. You're not going to be a better person now. That's who you are at your core.
Mm.
I think that's how I look at it. So if someone wants to cut you off or whatever it is, I'm still trying to figure out, but I don't give it much thought now. Why are people, when they drop off their kids at daycare, so aggressive drivers?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Like, I'm still trying to figure that one out, right? It's like, okay, I'm conscious enough to be driving carefully around a parking lot or something like that because of children, right? So their priority is not looking for cars. The parents' priority is to look for cars. But I find it really hypocritical that the parents dropping them off are some of the most aggressive people when they're driving a motor vehicle because they got to get in and they got to get out. And I'm like, but hang on a sec. Everybody else that's around you is still being conscious of that environment. But why are you in your own little bubble thinking that you have it? Like, I get it. Maybe you got there late because the child didn't get ready or whatever. There was late factors associated with that travel. And now there's late factors because you got there late. So now you got to get to your own employment. So that's where the aggressive nature comes. So I'm trying to figure that out. But I'm like thinking, okay, you'll never figure that one out. So leave it be and just watch the aggressive drivers in the loading and unloading zone.
Simple. So what makes people so aggressive?
Because they never make enough time for themselves.
What do you mean?
When I talk to some parents, and so like when you talk to, depending on what age group it is, right? The amount of extra activities that they put onto the menu, you look at it and going, what about you?
Right.
I get it that you're trying, okay, are you doing it so then you can give your kid so many possibilities so they can try everything? But I also look at it like not every kid's going to be that superstar athlete. Not every kid's going to be that superstar singer. Maybe your kid wasn't designed for that, but you want to still give your kid every opportunity. So now you've booked them in, enrolled them into everything. But then now you're just an Uber driver now, are you not? So now you're taking your happiness as a sacrifice to that. And I'm like, is that really a smart thing to do? I don't know. I'm not a parent, so I don't know. But you're taking time away from you.
You're taking time away from you. And again, challenging, provocative thought is, are you connecting with the child? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Right?
I don't know. There was that little video recently where Ben Affleck was shoe shopping with his son, teenage son. And the son wanted some stupid expensive shoes, right? And Ben was really smart. He just said, listen, you can't afford it. I can, but you can't. And he didn't buy them for him. And I'm like, yeah, that's how I would handle that situation. You can't afford it.
Mm.
That's a connection point, I think. But the kid eventually is going to get money because his dad's very, very wealthy. So then he'll be able to buy it, but will he appreciate it? It's different. Like Ben comes from humble beginnings, right? Hardworking individual that worked his way up the ladder. Dated a few of the wrong people, but
sure.
But I mean, the kid is being given this shit. So the hardworking aspect, what's that going to do that kid? I don't know. Maybe we need to have hardworking moments in life that so you can appreciate.
This is very interesting, right? Like, and there's no right.
I'm not a parent. So
yeah,
I don't know,
and there's
right?
no right or wrong answer. But you know, do we incubate our children and our society too much? I don't know. There's a sense of false security or fakeness that goes around where it's like it's not all rainbows, butterflies, and unicorns. Like sometimes you need to fall. We right. hear that, but do we actually subscribe to it and allow it to occur? I'm not sure. You know, my biases suggest no.
With the lack of cast that I see on kids, I can't tell you the last time I saw a kid with a cast on.
Yeah, remember like you see cast and you're like, oh, yep. How many signatures have yep. you got, right?
That was in classrooms. That was in high school. That was in grade school. That was just always there. I don't see it. Means that kids are not breaking anything these days because they're being protected? I don't know. I've broken my share of bones. I've had my share of accidents.
I want to come back to something you said too, where you know, the over awareness or whatever, however we want to frame it, as far as, you know, overactivating our children is taken away from time as a parent, as a human being. So then it becomes Groundhog Day. Well, I'm going to come home from this activity and eat something and go to bed and start all over again. Well, where's your time? Well, I'm stick handling this. And I don't know the right answer, but some people say, well, then I just sit on the couch and I doom scroll. Well, is that fucking healthy?
That's not healthy.
Right?
So that's your escapism? Like you as parents, don't you guys have like calendars on your fridge where it indicates all the days of what activities are happening for who at what time and shit like that?
I'd say on the fridge, but they're all stainless steel fridges now, so nothing sticks to so the okay, thing anymore.
So on the tablet.
So on digital.
On the Google Doc, right?
But no, our family does sit down and say, okay, what have we got to be aware of? And we actually do it as a family so the children are aware of it too. By the way, this is what's happening. You're on the bus. This is, you're taking this. Here's what the activity.
I know, but on that calendar, your calendar, are you guys as the parents there too?
Oh, yeah.
This is a me day. This is a mom day. This is a dad day. This is a family day. Like, is that there too?
I can speak to our family, yes.
Okay. And but you think most families are like that? I don't think so. I think it's all about the kids.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're shuffling, driving, trying to figure out. Maybe that's why they're racing on the roadway. I don't know. But
even before that, it's like the importance of, I just need 2 hours to myself. Right? 3 hours of myself.
Well, that's why you took your time, right? Like it got to the point where you're like, oh, okay, hang on a sec. I'm shutting down, right? I have to shut down.
It was totally different, right? Literally not opening a phone, not taking a phone call. I didn't even check in with our family. Like, guys, I'll send you a text in the morning to say good morning and I'll talk to you maybe at the end of the night, maybe not. You have to learn. You asked a question before of uncertainty and all I can say is you have to try things. I'm going to... Look, I can speak for myself, uncertainty. For those 5 days, I had decided to have nothing, no meat.
Okay.
That's very uncertain for me. We're a meat household. And so we went on an adventure, me and our two children. Like, here's a basket. Go buy every vegetable you can buy in the grocery store. So it was cool. Three of us, different directions. Uncertainty. When we got home and I started to prep all that for the next 5 days, I had no, my brain was like, what the hell am I going to do with eggplant? What the hell? Like,
yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm going to be so hungry and I'm going to be, yeah. the narratives. I tell you, you don't know what you don't know until you do it. And you're like, okay, not right or wrong, good or bad. It's simply data, document. What do I think? How do I feel? You know, what did I notice? Right. And for me, it was cool journey. The last day I had two big
steaks.
Was
it long enough? Could it have been longer?
Maybe one day
okay.
extra, maybe 2 days extra, but I started to... For me, there was a sense of, wow, is a home when it's dead silent?
I'd say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah. And how do the things, you know, I started questioning everything. So could it have been longer? Yeah, it could have been longer. And there's still a part of me to say that for our household, I missed the busyness. I missed the, you know, shoes everywhere and shit everywhere. And I'm thinking, is it really a big deal? Like, so what? You don't pick up your shoes today. So what? Your toys are everywhere. So what? It means you're playing. It means you're so what? You left the soccer ball on the grass.
Cares?
Who cares?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Sometimes in our society, we're like, oh, I got to tell these kids 12 times to clean up.
Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at @TeresaGreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
What if that's not in your life anymore? It's taken away from you. Then tell me how much you're going to miss that. Dog parents go through that all the time. It's almost a cycle, right? So, you know, they're so used to scratches on pieces of whatever it is, right? Things being eaten, chewed. And then at some point you lose your dog and there's no scratching anymore. There's no chewing anymore. There's no bed anymore. There's no bowls that are spilling water everywhere. Like it that happens, right?
Sure.
So you hate it when it's all happening, but then you desperately miss it when it's not happening anymore. That's why I was asking you if it was long enough, right?
I think for me it was. I think for others it depends, right? But interesting though, as you were talking about, you know, the dog situation is, you know, the dog hair and the bowls and the spilled water, and then it comes back to my brain, which going again. Assume, do we know what makes us happy? Do we know what happiness is?
We think we do.
We think we do.
Yeah.
Based on what?
Here's a question for you. When you look for happiness in your mind, when you're thinking about it, are you thinking about the past or are you thinking about the future or the present? Which one are you thinking about the most? I think that most people think about the past.
In what sense? Because it triggers that memory of...
It triggers a memory when they were happy at that moment, but they don't really remember that moment specifically being a happy moment. But now it's a happy moment in their lives in the future.
Well, I would become curious to say, was that a joyful moment? Because I believe there's a difference between a joyful moment and happiness.
And are you comparing it to your current state of happiness version? Where I'm not particularly happy right now. And so I look back in time and I was like incredibly happy then. And that was a simpler time. And now I don't have that happiness. So now I'm not happy because I'm comparing it to that. Is that? I don't know.
This is interesting because it's through some of the work that I do, this is what I hear, is that I want to go back to a point in time where I was happy.
But you can create a point in time now to be happy, right? Can't you?
The answer is yes, because how can you say, hey, I want to go back in time. Okay, so what are you willing to hold on to? Because if you go back in time, the parameters are different. When you were having a joyful moment, what was actually occurring? You know, okay, circumstances were different. I can't just extrapolate that moment and bring it forward because everything else has evolved. I've evolved. The world around me has evolved. See, the people, the interactions the people in my world now are different than they were at this point in time. So, you know, I would dig in and say, okay, so if it's a joyful moment we're talking about, what was it that actually brought joy? How can we replicate
you have to, that? I think you actually have to think about what were the ABCs of that moment back in time, right? Were there certain friends or family or people around you that were contributing to that happiness moment, right? Or was it just you by yourself that you were experiencing that moment, right? So I think there's a lot of factors where you can go sitting in your car listening to a tune or going to a specific place and just hanging out, sitting on a park bench, like whatever it is, right? Or were you at a friend's house party get together and the conversation was happy.
Right.
And it was like, that's what you're remembering. And now you look at it today and you're comparing it and you're like, okay, well, I don't have that same car. I'm not listening to that same music. And that person's not in my life anymore. So then I can't springboard off of that shit. Like, so all of a sudden that means technically equals I'm not happy today. I was happy yesterday. But I go back to, you can make the happiness again today. You just got to find whatever ingredients today. No? Can you not?
Yeah. But you have to, again, you got to do the self work, man. You got to reflect back and go, look, there's joyful moments where I can remember, you know, going up the 400, windows down, music blaring and a sunroof open. I felt fantastic. That's a joyful moment. So let's dig in. And I can't just say, oh, I wish I could go back to doing that. No, I could do that again. Doesn't mean I'm going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But what brought joy to them? Well, maybe it was I was by myself. I, you know, loved that music at the time. I loved that sound. I loved that vehicle. The sun was, I don't know, right? Self-work. Don't wish for things folks are not willing to work for. Hey, I wish I was happy. What the fuck are you willing to do for it? What are you willing to do for it? Scroll on a phone and say, well, if I buy those $1,000 Air Jordans, I'm going to be happy? Are you? Maybe you are. Maybe you're not. But what is it, this drive? What's the underlying factor, folks?
I think everybody's trying to find happiness into things or people or situations, and then they should just be looking into it in themselves, no?
Yeah, that strikes a chord for me. So, because I believe we live in a world where it's really easy to volley, to play victim mindset. It's not me, it's you. There's always some other external factor.
Yeah.
There's always something else to...
Yeah.
You know, I'm not happy because of this. I'm not going here because of this, right? But the work starts with, like, when I separate that victim mindset for a second, right, and let people be who they're going to be and not have an influence on me, how do things change? How do things change?
Yeah, so stop wasting your time thinking about that shit and just start thinking about what you can do today.
Like, what's one thing I can do?
There's a, okay, it's kind of funny. It was just, as I was waiting for the shows to start today, I was talking to the girls in the front there, and parking lot's empty. It's Friday, right? So it's not very busy. So I always park in a certain spot, but then one of the girls took that spot because I had to leave to go get something and then come back. So then she took my spot.
Okay.
And then I had a split second there. I always back into a parking spot. It's just my nature. That's who I am, right? And so I had a split second there where it's like, I wanted to park literally an inch away from her car on the driver's side. So she wouldn't be able to get in, right? So that's just me being childish, right? And then I got in and I saw her and I said hello and I was listening. I had a split second there where I was going to park an inch away from your car and you wouldn't be able to get in. Then I told her about stories back in the days when we were teenagers and I used to work with a friend. He used to work at Thrifty Car Rental.
Okay.
And we hated the guys that were working the very next day. So we knew which car needed to come out of the yard first. So we would park all the cars an inch away to that one car. You'd have to move all the cars to get to that one car. It was impossible to get into that car, right? That's how childish we are, and that made us happy. That was funny. Right? I thought that was funny, right? And so all of a sudden, I tell that story, and she's just shaking her head, and she's like, I'd be crying. I'd be looking for you to try to figure out if I had to leave, and you're parked that close. And then I just looked at her, I was going, or you can go through the passenger side.
Mm-hmm.
But that's her thought. Like, she's just thinking, well, he just put me in this situation. It's funny. She's laughing, but she's also crying because she needs to get into her car to leave, right? But it's just like, that's a simple thing to be childish and be funny. We forget to do that, no? Don't we forget to do that?
To have fun, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, actually, interesting you said that because, yes, I think that there's a piece of fun that we don't allow into our lives. And look at... The way you described the story, the way I interpreted that story was, you know, that girl didn't go to a place of fun. She went to a place of, poor me, I'd be crying.
How difficult is it to get out of this situation now?
And then the pragmatic side of you was like, well, hang on a second. I didn't like roadblock you. You should use your brain and get in from, I don't want to say that in that sense, but think about it for a second. Get in from the passenger side. We don't do that. We look at a problem, we close down. We're like, oh my God, this person blocked me in.
I would say all my jokes, there's a way out of it. You're talking to an individual that saran wrapped a friend's car one night just because he was fucking bored with two rolls of industrial saran wrap. Underneath the car, around the car, it looked like a big sandwich. Why? Just because it's funny. Simple as that. And then she just said, don't saran my ass. Going, now that you've told me not to, what do you think is going to happen? I'm more creative than that. I'll come up with something else. But I think we should have more fun. Just screw around. No? Isn't that funny?
Spontaneity.
People could do shit to me. I've laughed. I totally laughed. You know, being caught on certain things and people pulling practical jokes. I've laughed. Because it's funny.
It's
as long as nobody gets hurt.
Well, right? And that's the thing. It's like, you know, April Fool. Okay, fine. Within boundaries, right? As long as it's not going to, you know, hurt somebody, do what you want.
Yeah.
Do what you want.
Kids don't do practical jokes anymore, do they?
I think that we have something in society that suppresses funness, if that's even a word. At some point in time, it's like, well, you can no longer be fun.
See, me, I like busting bubbles. You know the packaging bubbles?
Yeah,
I love those, right? See, my thought process, if I had kids, right, I would spray glue on the bottom of my kids' soles and then do it at a point where we're in a hurry to get the fuck out of the house. And then get them to put the shoes on. It's like, tomp, 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 tomp. And then they would just stop and you all laugh. And that'd be kind of funny, no?
Hilarious.
I think it'd be kind of funny.
And then you know what it does for me is I'm laughing because you've instilled a sense of energy, which is cool. What it does do is it creates a game. I'll fix you.
Next time you go get ready, they'll be looking at the soles of their feet, right? The shoes. And they'll be like, that's not where the next one's coming from.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I mean? But I think that would be funny. And I think if you did it on a job site even, you know what I mean? Like little, just break the monotonous of shit in your everyday. We get it. You got to come in. You got to do this. You got to do that. But why can't we just have a joke or share a joke? I personally love the electrician plumbing gay memes between everybody right now. I think they're absolutely hilarious, right?
Yeah.
I think it's just good banter. It's funny. I think it puts a smile on tradespeople. I think they're maybe having bad days. I think the economics of things, money-wise, people are stressing. I get it. But it's not bad to just fucking laugh, right? Smile, just laugh, right?
Well, doesn't it change things now? You're coming into it. Let's take the job site, for example. You're coming into going, what's this fucker going to do to me today, right? You're thinking ahead of time. You're thinking, rather than the negative, the automatic negative thoughts of whatever bullshit is going to surface, now you're kind of on hyper awareness to go, okay, we're playing a game here. He got me. You know, it's coming back after. It might not be the next day. It might not be the day after, but you better head on a swivel because something's coming your way, right?
There was a show I did recently where I thought it was kind of funny. It was Rich and he was saying, listen, there's a porta potty out there that someone rode in it. As soon as you close the door and you see the backside of the toilet, it's written Portuguese Space Shuttle. It was fucking hilarious. That's absolutely hilarious, right? I laughed at it, right? Because I could picture Portuguese actually building a space shuttle like that, right? And then I posted that clip. And then he got attacked by another union member saying a bunch of bullshit. And this went on for 30 fucking messages, man. And then I got into it and I just responded to the guy. I said, dude, continue to attack. I'll change this a different way, right? And then he stopped. Right? Because I was ready to block him and just end it. I'm like, that's not the point of this fucking joke. It's just a joke, man. Just leave it be at that. And then he just started attacking the individual personally. You're wasting all this fucking time, man. Shut up. He brought up a comment and I felt bad because he's like, his mom just recently passed away. I was like, so now you're interjecting this comment about your mom passing away recently while you're attacking an individual. It's like two things that are going on wrong now. I'm like, I read the comments and I'm like, dude.
Okay, would that occur if they were face to face?
No, it would not.
Right.
That's the problem I have.
What would have changed?
What would have changed is like, that's funny and that's it. Leave it at that. Simple as that. But then he felt it was okay to attack this other individual. And then he felt it was okay to let him know that his mom just recently passed away. So then spend your time and effort remembering your mom. I'm sure you're going through a lot of stuff like the house and clearing up photos and, you know, family and all that. Like far more important shit than attacking somebody on social media.
Well, and this is where I'm saying, you know, people are freaking cowards, man. And it's like, you know, the mean girl high school thing. I'm going to bullshit you and I'm going to talk behind your back and do all this stuff. But you think of that scenario, would it have occurred face to face? No.
No, never.
It would have got to a point where it would have stopped. Somebody would have either set the boundaries or, you know what? Somebody would have been punched in the face and they would have got it.
Just like the beginning of the story, what I was saying about that meeting, where it's like the guy was just getting a little too much.
Yeah.
And he needed to be shut down. That's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Nobody does that anymore, though, right? They're all hiding behind the keyboard.
Or when something, yeah. And when, or even worse, when something occurs, they don't confront it. Well, you pissed me off, but I'm not going to say anything to you. Well, who's suffering then?
Then if you want to say it to my face. He would never say it, right? And then I got a few messages. But it was just bullshit. That was like, I looked at it like, the whispering, 100 days, you wasted a fucking 100 days of banter or arguing, keyboard warring shit. Like, you're wasting fucking time, dude. None of us know how much time we have, right? Attention contractors and construction professionals. Do you feel like your expenses are way too high? Imagine cutting your spending by 28%. At Schooley Mitchell, they dig deep to help you save on essential expenses that could be impacting your bottom line. Their risk-free analysis allows you to concentrate on your trade while they find those savings for you. Don't let extra expenses keep you from achieving the success you deserve. Reach out today to schedule your risk-free analysis and unlock your savings. Find them at www.schooleymitchell.com/office/AEGIUGGIO/about. Or reach out to them at erica.jugio@schooleymitchell.com. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
You know, and this is like, I have people that don't like me for whatever their reasons are. I'm sure you have people that don't like you for whatever reasons are. Right? Like, get on the list, folks. But then things are different when it's like, if you have an issue, say it straight instead of sugarcoating. Oh, well, you know, I can't come to this event, or I don't want to. Like, again, Jonathan, I don't want to hang out with you, man. I think you're an asshole. Thank you. I got
Simple.
It.
Simple.
Now, I can either choose to dig into that or not.
Yeah.
But you don't have to sugarcoat, like, well, no, I might come to the event, or I might do this, or we say it straight. Right? Say it with integrity, say responsibility, and move on, right?
Simple.
And it happens so many times with families. It's like, well, I don't know, excuse after excuse, whatever it is, families, friendships, it's just relationships in general, right?
People, I've always learned that doesn't matter if it's family, if it's friendships, it's significant others, people grow, and sometimes they grow differently, right? So you just grow apart, simple as that. If you're lucky enough that you'll hang out and still, you know, hang out with each other, but people have other priorities, I guess. But then you make new friends. Like, leave it at that. So
if we're not evolving, we're dying, right? And what that means is sometimes you got to leave relationships that no longer serve you well.
Does it really bother you, Jonathan, if someone says Jonathan's an asshole? Does it really consume your day, like ruin your day? There's like, you go home and think your kids, do they think I'm an asshole? Does my wife think I'm an asshole? Like, do my best friends think I'm an asshole? No, you don't fucking think that shit. I don't care.
Okay, cool. You don't like me. Fine. Either I'm going to choose to dig in or not.
Go for a walk and fucking listen to birds or some shit like that. Yeah. Dude, I'm on a puppy trip right now. Like, I fucking will look at puppies. I just love fucking puppies. Doesn't matter what kind of puppy it is. I like puppies.
Uh-oh. Is there a dog coming back?
No, there's no dog coming back right now. No fucking way. Like, because I know the responsibility associated with puppies, right? But it doesn't prevent me. Like, when I cleanse and I fast.
Sure.
I think I've told you this.
Yeah.
I just stare at fucking steaks being cooked on the barbecue. I'm still not going to eat for 7 days, and I'm still staring at steaks being cooked on the barbecue. Why am I doing that? Because I like looking at it. I know that I'm going to have a steak on the 8th day. So I'm just preparing for it. Maybe in the future there might be a puppy, but not right now. No, no fucking way. But because puppies are completely innocent, right? They're joyful. They look at the world. They just experience things for the first time. So they find happiness every fucking second of the day. They find happiness, right? They're even smiling when they're peeing. You know what I mean? Like, whether it's on your shoes or whatever it is. But I just think, yeah, at what point in your age, like, what do you fear sometimes your kids are going to lose that? Do you try to figure, because you probably haven't thought about at what age you were when you kind of stopped being the way you were being when you were much younger. And are you worried that at what age are you going to discover it in your kids that they're not as happy as they used to be happy?
Do you mean like that silliness factor?
Yeah. Nobody's silly on a job site. I like being silly on the job site. I like saying inappropriate things. I like making jokes. I like screwing around. Like, I like. I think that's funny. And I like it being done to me. It doesn't bother me at all, right?
You know, I think I was fortunate where I was able to carry the silliness for a, like into my professional career for a long time, even to, I would say 30, good. Into my 30s.
Good.
And then a bunch of factors probably changed to drive that. I've never thought of it. Actually, great question is, you know, when do our children stop?
I think you'll see it.
Right? And the immediate thing to me is like, never. Like, just hang on to something. Hang on to something that's just going to, the silliness, right? I'm in a bubble wrap. There was, you know, even through high school, I mean, there's all kinds of shit, but we've all had funny moments where we reflect back and like, remember when we picked up that guy's car and moved it? It was a Civic and everybody just grabbed onto the Civic and you move it or whatever. It's latched onto the one thing. I don't know.
There was a kid in high school. It was Easter. He won this big Easter bunny chocolate thing.
Okay.
Right? But the mistake that they did, they announced who won on the PA system. So we knew who won. And then we were taking buses to school. So we're taking buses back home. And he's on our bus. And I don't know who's, it wasn't me. But somebody started it and everybody attacked him and took a piece of the, and they destroyed the bunny. They destroyed it. And we were all sitting there with, everybody had a piece of chocolate and they're all enjoying it. But he's there just pissed off because he was expected to take this bunny home, right? And I thought it was the funniest thing ever. I thought it was funny. I guess technically today, bullying, would that be considered bullying? He still laughed at it the next day. He complained about it. He was like, you guys are all assholes, but he was still smirking about it. But we all got to have
sometimes
some
that triggers me, the word bully, right? Because we oversoften it, right? There, I think for me, you know, there's bullying, right? Sometimes you need to hear shit to say like, you're being a fucking dickhead. Stop it. Stop it. Is that bullying? I don't know. Like sometimes you're the asshole, you know?
I didn't think it was bullying.
No.
It's just an Easter bunny. It was a big Easter bunny. I guess we would have all gone to what, high school jail or something like that? I don't know what the fuck we would have done.
No.
What would have like that scenario happened?
You would have had a reflection paper.
Oh fuck.
Right? Tell us what you did, what you've learned, what you're gonna do for next time. Right? Holy shit, man, like fuck.
I'd be asking for the ink block test.
You know, so maybe there it is. Maybe there's the factor that is that why we've lost some of our silliness? Because of there's control mechanisms in place that restrict that silliness?
Life gets in the way, I guess, sometimes, but it doesn't need to get in the way. Don't hurt anybody. If anybody's doing any practical jokes, just don't hurt anybody. That's all I'm saying.
No, there's boundaries and expectations,
yeah.
Right? Like, don't do something that's going to physically hurt somebody that might throw a water balloon at a guy, I don't know, you know, bubble wrap his car, whatever. There's all kinds of stupid shit that you can do. We've all done it. I hope that there's many people out there that take your advice and duct tape bubble wrap to the bottom of shoes. Laugh your ass off. Whoopee cushions. Remember when whoopee cushions were a big thing?
Yeah.
And it was just like, you try to get somebody to sit on the whoopee cushion. What happened to that?
We used to do that all the time on the film sets, on the productions, because we got along so well. It was just fun. Like, we're all a band of gypsies, right? So we're all from different walks of life and different people, different ages and whatever. But we had a passion of production and being around creative people and talking. But we would have a lot of practical jokes happening, lots of practical jokes, just screwing around and just making jokes and just talking. Different now from what I'm being
told. Okay, but what did that environment do for everybody there?
It made the day, like, well, first of all, you got to really know who's who.
Sure.
Where they come from. And everybody's legitimately nice people. Just generally nice people, earning a living, working hard, care about each other, watch each other's back. And you always saw it, like, in an instant, whenever somebody got hurt. Like, if there was a cut, there was a bruise, there was something happened, everybody just, like, went right into action. And just helped each other out. That's what I loved about it. It was amazing, right? Not saying that there was a bunch of war wounds going on, but whenever something did happen, there was genuine care in a bunch of strangers, right? That's what I liked about it, because we all got to sit around. There's a lot of sitting around and doing nothing. So there's a lot of sitting around and talking.
Okay.
And shooting the shit and talking about a bunch of garbage, just everyday stuff. What's going on in the world, right? It's not the same today. I'm being told it's not the same today.
So you had hyper-connectedness.
Well, yeah, I missed that. It's literally
being a part of the circus. You know, you're thrown into a mix of different cultures and people, and that's what I loved about it.
You know, my brain went to the days of sitting in a job site on a BX coil with a lunchbox, everybody facing each other saying, what do you got today? What do you got today? And all of a sudden you learn a little bit about somebody. You learn what pisses them off. You learn what you know, how to poke at them within good fun. And we don't have that now. Now it's like everybody's scattered on a phone, head down. Right? Because in the scenario that you talk about, yeah, you learned a lot about people. I'm sure you also learned triggers of people. So you know how far to push it.
Of course.
You knew like, okay, totally. This is offside. Like this joke to you know, Jim might be okay. This joke to Jonathan is not going to be okay.
Listen, I pulled off a few where I got yelled at by the person I did it to.
Sure.
Right? And he was genuinely angry at me, right? And then he stormed off. But then I looked at others and they were all smirking and I was like, yeah, I'm good.
But the boundaries were set. The expectations were set. Today's world, that's bullying. Well, you shouldn't have done it to the guy. Well,
maybe we need more of that shit. I'm sorry, but I think we need more of that shit. I think we do.
You just described it. It creates hyper-connectedness.
I think so. You get to learn really amazing things about everybody. Different things, right?
And then you lean in. Okay. Yeah. This is Manny's skill set. This is this guy's skill set. Something went wrong here.
I genuinely think that people get angry at me because they're no longer invited on the show anymore. It's as simple as that. It's like, fuck you. It's as simple as that, right? Because I think I take great pleasure in talking to other people on the mic.
Right.
Right? New, repeat, anybody. I'll talk to anybody on the mic, right? About anything and everything. It doesn't matter. So the moment that you stop talking to somebody because of some bullshit, whatever, maybe they're angry because they don't get that opportunity anymore. So you could easily apologize or move on or do some other shit. But if you're not interested in doing any of that shit, that's not me. That's not my responsibility.
It's not your responsibility.
I don't give a shit. Simple as that.
It's not your responsibility to clean up somebody else's trauma. They got to do the work because we know that if somebody's angry, well, beneath that anger, sadness, they're actually sad about something. They're disconnected from something.
It goes back to the whole thing that we've been talking about. This, like, we don't know what the fuck's going on in their lives or what's missing. If they really are happy, what they're looking for. I think most people these days in construction are looking for peace more than they are looking for happiness, because peace is leading towards happiness. That's my thought process, right? It kind of makes sense. So that quietness, everyone's looking for that quietness. But I think if you can get two people have quietness, how many times like you sat with another individual and not said a fucking word, just looked at each other and you knew exactly what you were saying?
Interesting thought. Yeah.
It happens a lot. It does happen.
It does. And I think that as you say that, I think that there's certain people in my life who cannot accept that. Like
I used to do that with my dad all the time.
I can sit there and be absolutely quiet.
Yep.
And somebody's like, well, you're not talking to me. I'm like, no, just. I think it depends on the individual.
There's a lot being said.
There's a lot being said.
I think so.
Just, you're just there. There's energy. I believe energy is being transmitted back and forth. There's energies. There's things that are happening. We're in the same space, man. We're in the same space. And then all of a sudden, you know, Simon's like, want to go eat something? Yeah. Right? Is that a male thing? I don't know. I
can't speak about the female thing, but I definitely think it's a male thing.
Right.
Right. I definitely think it's a male thing.
There's a gentleman, and if he hears this, he'll laugh. I remember talking to him one time. He's like, how many times you just sit there, you know, on a couch with one of those, you know, the 2-liter Coke bottles, just pop, pop. You're just doing something to yourself. Guys can be around you and nobody says shit. You're in your own world, man.
The best joke for that I used to do this all the time, which is great. You can always take an empty water bottle, like a regular single serving at water bottle. Once it's empty, put the cap back on, put it behind your neck.
Okay.
And just twist your neck and squeeze the bottle at the same time. It genuinely looks like you're snapping your neck, like you're cracking your neck. Do it. Try it next time.
So
on empty your neck, water bottle,
yeah.
Cap back on. Put it behind your head and then cock your neck and squeeze the bottle at the same time. It generally looks like you broke or you cracked every bone in your neck. It looks like that. Especially do it when people are not, you know, expecting it, right? I used to, as a kid, obviously, I've gone to a lot of movies,
right? And I, as we grow up, I'm in line with my friends to watch a movie. And if my friend was just saying something or talking to me with something about just boring and I wasn't really intrigued in listening to what he was saying, I would just like, he constantly talking to me over and over nonstop. And I would just break his talk and I would just say, you want to suck my what? Like really loud. And then he would shut up. And then he's just stopped. And then I would walk away and he goes, you're a dick, Manny. I was going, made you stop.
There's like this triggers something for me. It's like, is there an expectation in society where we're getting so far away from just that, it's a stupid word to throw around, but that authenticity, like it's almost like we're always on. You go to events and you're like, people are,
I think we're always performing.
Always perform. There's the word.
Yeah.
You know, you walk into a scenario and it's like everybody's performing. Okay, if you just strip back all that bullshit, who are you as a human being?
Everybody's worried about if the hair is well, if their attire's well, like if they're presented well, if they look well. And it's like,
the only person who gives a shit is you.
Yeah.
Like you're too worried about how you look to worry about somebody else. That's the reality. And then we're all operating from the same lenses.
So what else you want to share before we wrap it up?
I think we touched on a lot.
I think we did. I think
we touched on a lot.
Everybody could find their peace, their happiness, and see what's really good in their lives. And sure, everyone's going to have bad shit. It's just, that's called life. C'est la vie, right? Simple as that.
Listen, for me, I leave with people, stay curious. Like do the digging, ask yourself the questions. What makes that important? You know, use the whys if you need to. Just keep digging instead of falling it to somebody else. It's not somebody else's problem.
Yep.
You got to deal with it yourself first. And yeah, it's going to be shitty. Yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable. On the other side of that, after the struggles where the growth emerges, you got to be really willing to do the work. So listen, I can talk to you all day. I appreciate you. So thanks.
No, thanks, Jonathan. You're the one that brought this up and you want to talk about it. So I'm glad that we did, man.
Thank you.
And then if it helps one person, it's good. Simple as that, man. It was a good chat.
Thanks man.